everybody, and welcome to Nerdy Boys presents Star Wars, A Rogue One Story. We are your hosts, I'm Nerdy Boy Scott.
And I'm Nerdy Boy Christian.
This is the Rogue One Podcast. So if you haven't watched it yet, watch the podcast, go watch it, join us again for the fun. Love you guys, watch that warning, we'll probably be touching stuff. So if you don't like that, go fuck yourself. Daniel, say hello.
Say hi. Say it louder.
A little bit louder there, puss.
Coons.
All
there
right.
You go. Sure. There's Daniel's intro. We got a resident racist with us, Daniel Mauricio.
How are you?
How are you doing today?
Pretty good.
Thanks for acknowledging that you're here.
There we go.
So Daniel's here because he is our dissenting voice.
That will spiral us all into chaos.
Yeah.
And hell. Let's not forget hell.
Yeah, and we can.
Yes.
We can be thoroughly annoyed at his responses to this movie.
Too bad Jamar wasn't like on a conference call right now. It's pretty unfortunate.
Know.
So, in case you guys didn't know, we're on Facebook Live right now. This is what we keep telling you guys. Follow us on all social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Go visit our website, www.nerdyboysreviews.com. You can find out cool content like this. Kind of see behind the scenes for our podcast. We're going to be doing every podcast from now on Facebook Live. And we're next time, we're going to start doing it on Periscope, which will be feeded directly to Twitter. So that's why you want to follow us on there. And that's why you want to follow us on Facebook. Because you'll get instant notifications that we're live and we're podcasting. And you can hop on and you can ask us questions if you guys want to ask us questions. Or you can request shout-outs of any sorts. Daniel's being super weird and racist-like, so, you know.
Yeah, for sure. So I guess let's just get into...
Do you not want to talk into that mic because it's black?
Oh, yeah.
He's hailing Hitler right now.
So,
oh, God, you're going to get us in trouble.
All right, well, let's just tear Daniel a new asshole to start with here. So, we briefly talked about this on the other podcast, but we're going to flush it out here.
This movie sucked balls.
I waited in the rain for an hour and a half in line to get us good seats for this movie.
And he could have stayed in the car and stayed dry.
Daniel drove like an old fucking pussy.
Yes.
To fucking get there. Oh, he was late also, by the way. Like, he's like, I don't want to. I'll pick Scott up at 5. And then, like, I call him at, like, 5:30, and they're like, oh, we're just leaving.
Yeah, he's like, oh, I thought the movie started at 8. Like a retard.
Like, he knew it started at 7.
No, I really thought it started at 8.
Sure.
Oh, my
sure,
God.
Sure, sure.
So, anyway, I got us these perfect seats in the perfect theater. I was soaking wet. It was fantastic.
Sucks for you, bud. Should have brought an umbrella.
Yeah, anyway.
He's about as drenched as a horny woman and her pussy.
All right, whatever he said.
yeah, just try to ignore him. I don't know why we even have him here.
We went and saw the movie. It was still pouring rain after the movie, and we talked about it outside.
Not pouring rain after the movie.
No, it was
slanted. We were under a tree.
I think Christian and Daniel's like view of like pouring rain is very different because we were like driving home, right?
Uh-huh.
And like Daniel was like driving like 30 miles an hour like the whole time.
Oh yeah, see that's what I was getting.
And then Christian didn't believe me, but I secretly Snapchatted his speedometer while we were driving as proof that he was driving like an old little woman.
Yeah,
and
you were.
Fucking like, dude, it was like sprinkling outside. He's like, I gotta pull over and smoke a cigarette. I was like, why? He's like, dude, between this storm at that point it was sprinkling outside, guys. He was like, between this storm and all the cars on the road right now.
Dude, but when we got out of theater, it was raining pretty, like, heavily. Because, like, I looked up at the light, dude, and you can just see it, like, slanted. We were under a tree, so,
you should have seen it when we left the house. So it
was pretty bad when we left.
It was hella bad.
Yeah, well, maybe if you would have got here a little earlier.
Well,
All right. I called you at 4, and you're like, God, dude, I'm fucking getting in the shower and then heading out there.
I did. I left at
4:30. No, you didn't, because then Scott called me at 4:30 and said, Daniel just called me, and he said he's hopping in the shower.
So it took you a whole half hour to hop in the shower?
Hey, I was preoccupied at that moment, thank you.
So what time did you leave?
So, 4:30. Basically...
You're full of shit.
So your gimp little leg couldn't carry you to the shower?
My gimp little leg.
What'd you have to do? Like, did you fall over and you have to hit your life alert?
anyway,
He doesn't know what to say. I've stumped Daniel. Yes, life has been completed, yes. Guys.
Anyway, I guess we should get into the film now.
Maybe.
All right, hold on.
We still have some other stuff.
All right.
In case you guys didn't know, we have another podcast this week. Go check it out. It's, you know, our weekly episodes that we missed last week, and so it has to deal with all the season finales and whatnot.
Mid-season
some good story times. Just to quickly tell you guys about some of the stories. I bought a new car. Pretty awesome. Not gonna get too much into it. Christian didn't get the raise he wanted.
60 cents ain't that bad.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't know. I don't know. I guess it's indifferent because, like,
you're not a dollar worker. You're a 60-cent worker there, sir.
Daniel, let me put it to you this way, right? If you were with the same company for 4 years and, like, you've been promoted every year,
mm-hmm.
wouldn't you expect to be making more than $15 an hour?
I wouldn't be expecting shit. I'd be grateful that I had that job for 4 years.
Okay, well, they should be grateful that their fucking business hasn't gone under with me running it, so...
You're not
pretty much.
Look here, Donald Trump. You're not that special to them. That's the thing.
Yeah, they don't think so, but when I'm gone, they sure will miss me.
Listen here, Snowflake. That's not how it works.
Daniel, stop dropping your phone everywhere. You're gonna fuck up our audio.
For real, dude. All right. Yeah. We also had another Facebook Live video for that as well. You can go follow us on Facebook and check it out for yourself. Pretty cool. All right, let's get in the film. First off, what'd you think, Christian?
All right, so this film was amazing.
All right,
but okay, so no normal space crawl where we get introduced in the film, which has been a staple of every other Star Wars film.
Hold on, dude, you're getting ahead of yourself.
No, I'm just.
No, you're right.
All right, Daniel, how did you like the film?
That movie
doesn't matter how you like the film.
The movie sucked tremendous monkey balls. For me, I had a hard time getting emotionally invested in characters that absolutely have no fucking meaning to the whole franchise as a whole.
Oh, hold on. So, wait, you're telling me they have no meaning?
Yes.
So, get rid of these characters.
Yes.
Okay, so who got the plans of the Death Star?
Who cares? When I say that,
no, that means that if without these characters, nobody got the plans of the Death Star, then A New Hope doesn't happen, Empire doesn't happen, Return of the Jedi doesn't happen.
The whole Star Wars universe ceases to exist.
Yeah,
all right, here. I can live with the first three prequels not ever happening. I'm fine with that.
No, those still happened. That had no effect on these characters. It's the original trilogy that doesn't happen without these characters getting the plans of the Death Star.
It just, I don't know. I couldn't emote. They were just, for me, when I go to the movies, for me, a good movie is where I can get emotionally attached to characters that makes me want to care for them and root for them. That just didn't happen with me in this movie at all.
Well, I think with someone like you, it's like you weren't invested in this movie to begin with.
You have emotions?
I do, believe it or not.
Interesting.
That's my woman in the bedroom.
No. All right.
We would, but yet you won't let us talk to her. So
for good reasons.
Why is that? Because you're afraid that she might find out who you really are.
I played the fifth.
So I feel like for big Star Wars fans, this movie felt authentically Star Wars.
Yeah.
In my opinion, it felt very Star Wars. The characters, I feel like they fleshed out enough of their personalities and their stories to make you invested in them.
Actually, I would. I like to retract a little bit. There was one character I actually was emotionally invested in, and that was the robot.
Well, yeah. Everybody liked the robot.
But for me, Jen was weak. The French bastard was weak. In fact, they should have recast.
Hold on. You're getting ahead of yourself, bud. Nobody's going to ask me how. I liked the movie fine. Scott, how you like the movie? Oh, I thought it was great. Thanks for asking.
I like to point out.
Shut up! It doesn't matter what you think.
Scott was driving.
The Rock knows best.
Scott was driving me nuts through the movie because he wouldn't stop playing with his goddamn.
Oh,
cell phone.
Oh my god!
Fuck off! This fucking guy. So everybody who listens to this podcast knows. You know. Oh my god, dude! I almost fucking ended this old man's life. He only has a couple years left, anyways. But
pretty
I was just
much.
Gonna end it now.
Yeah.
I was like, fuck this. I'll take your life away from you, boy.
And then Christian thought that there's
he wouldn't stop playing with his phone.
Dude,
he kept
talking.
He kept leaning over to Christian.
Yeah.
Hey, is he dead?
Or is he just unconscious? I know they dropped a proton bomb on him, but he could just be knocked out.
Is that Ackbar? Is that him? That looks like him.
Dude, is that Admiral Ackbar?
In my defense, it looked like him.
Dude. And then he kept doing this. He kept leaning over and fucking poking me. And I'm just like, dude,
you're
like,
just an annoying little prick. You're so lucky that you're our friends, because then, like, I was, probably actually would have pissed
I really
me
felt
off.
Like I needed an adult in that film, like, to kind of, like, be like, it's not okay to touch other people.
Daniel the rapist.
But my other gripes with the movie obviously would have been the CGI. The walkers looked like shit.
The CGI was amazing.
No, I've seen better CGI in other movies. Jurassic Park blows that movie out of the fucking water when it comes to CGI. They know how
you
to use CGI.
Tripping,
no,
dude.
Okay, 10 or 15 years from now, when you look back, the CGI will not hold. I guarantee it. Jurassic Park, the first one came
out in 93. Dude, the CG from the original
still holds to this
day. Dude, the
day.
CG from the original.
Same with the Abyss.
The original Star Wars in the 70s still holds up.
Well, to a degree, but if you go back and watch it before they did the digital remaster, you can see the little fucking black box surrounding the fucking TIE fighters and shit as they're going through space. So, not necessarily holds up well.
Well, that's why they did remastered editions, but still, no. This still holds up pretty well for, like, what they had in that time.
I'll give you that.
Yeah, in the 70s compared to when was Jurassic Park made?
93.
Oh, wait. But who created
the
whole CGI?
Yeah, who created
CGI?
The technology for them to be able to make that movie?
Daniel?
Oh, George Lucas,
down.
That too. Sorry,
oh, wait, bud. You're
yeah,
just
but,
sitting down.
But
go to sleep.
But Disney, the fucking pirates that they are and like to fucking destroy shit when they buy it, will fucking ruin the CGI. Again, Jurassic
they
Park.
They did not ruin. Dude, you're tripping, dude. Dude, the CGI was so amazing. The way that they fucking introduced like 7 different planets in one movie. They all looked unique in their own way. The way the fucking like that the last planet they're on. Fuck.
Tatooine?
No, Scarif. Scarif.
Yeah, Scarif. Looked like a fucking tropical island compared to like the other ones. It looked like Sahara deserts and
yeah,
stuff like that.
I know all you naysayers out there. Oh, another fucking desert planet, dude. Another fucking rainy planet, dude. Another fucking forest planet, dude. No.
There's like a tropical planet.
There was.
Cool.
These are different planets, all right? And people want to bitch about it from The Force Awakens,
all
right?
And then the battle scenes and stuff, dude. You got it,
dude.
Dude,
the space
tripping.
Battle was amazing.
Let's be honest. Fucking Jurassic Park has never done anything on the near the scale that Star Wars has ever had to pull off. They had to digitally make a couple of fucking dinosaurs, bro. They're fucking
in space,
hundreds of fucking flying vehicles, dude.
They've actually built the big ass animatronics, and then
what all did they build in Star Wars?
Nothing. It's all CGI now.
Not all.
Most.
Not in the original.
Oh, I'll tell you. I thought you meant.
No, but you're talking about 93 Jurassic Park.
And
also, okay. If you want to, you want to make it modernized. What about Jurassic World? All that was fucking CGI.
And
all of it.
You want the best CGI movie ever? The one that has not been topped to this day in Star Wars will not even come close. I don't care if it's Rogue One, Episode 8, or whatnot. Terminator 2 still is the bar that's the movie that set the bar as far as that goes, because the CGI, especially for the time, was fucking amazing. I didn't see that in Rogue One.
You know who set the bar?
Tripping, dude.
Huh? George Lucas in Star Wars: A New Hope, because he created the technology that allowed that movie to be made.
Prove it. I don't believe that.
You heard of ILM?
No.
Industrial Lights and Magic?
Yes.
Oh yeah, he created that company, CGI company. First one.
Did he?
Yes. Yeah. Headquarters is right there in San Francisco.
Well, I'm good on that. That's queer capital of the world. You won't catch me there, but I don't know. The movie just, like...
We should record our conversations with Daniel and send it to his girlfriend.
in all seriousness, though, for me, the movie just... It kind of dragged, especially the first half of the movie, where it was just a bunch of whining and bitching and trying to find out whose purpose is what. The second half picked up a little bit. Like maybe the last 25, 30 minutes of the movie, I thoroughly enjoyed, particularly, and no spoilers, but there's a certain part at the end I really like. But
we're going to spoil it. We covered that, so you can say whatever you want.
Can I?
Yes.
Okay. I didn't know that.
God, it's a whole new
But I didn't know that. So for me, the standout. Before I jump on that, my biggest gripes outside of not being able to be emotionally invested in the characters was Vader. For me, he seems to have lost what I don't know if it was the design choice. It definitely was part of it. Was definitely Vader's voice.
It was a different costume. It was different. Like, his voice, I don't think it's the voice that was the problem. I think it was the way he said things was the problem.
Well, go back to...
Yeah, so, his voice.
Go back to the original trilogies and then watch this one. You'll see a huge difference.
Yeah, there's a difference, but, like, I'm saying that the difference isn't the way his voice sounded. The difference was the way he was saying things.
It could be, yeah, but there was just, in all honesty,
his costume was, like, completely different. His eyes were reflective when they shouldn't have been.
Yeah.
His height was off. His helmet was, like, not fully attached to where, like, how are you supposed to breathe on something, like, that's supposed to keep oxygen in when there's a fucking big-ass gapping hole in it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, his cape was different. Like, his whole outfit was different.
But we did get a glimpse of what Vader truly, really was, as you mentioned the other day when we were talking, when he just went medieval on a lot of people.
Not only Vader, we got a sense of what the Empire was that you didn't get at all in the original trilogy. You didn't get sense.
But we kind of got that in Episode 7, though.
Well, that's the Resistance and the whatever, though.
One. Oh, it's not the Empire anymore.
No,
that's right.
Yeah, so
I forgot it.
The Empire, like we in the original trilogy, we were told about the Empire and their how oppressive they are and all this
but
stuff.
But we never really saw anything.
They showed up on Hoth after the Rebels were there. They showed up to Yavin after the Rebels were there. Like this, like you're seeing them like have Star Destroyers over a planet, like going to other planets and like actual setting up bases and establishing themselves in parts of this world.
Now, as much as I bitch about the CGI, though, the one thing that stood out and they made it look absolutely amazing, and I can't take it away from this film, was the Death Star itself. It looked absolutely fucking amazing. And then
the scale of the movie, like how big the Death Star was, you didn't get that sense really from the original.
And
either.
I absolutely loved like when they actually used it the first time and like the fucking impact that it had.
Oh yeah,
it was fucking like it was just like it left you in awe. You're like, holy fucking shit, because you're just like. Like, you see what you were able to see what it could do to some degree in the old, like, New Hope, Empire, and shit. But I think this is the first one where you actually got to see just how genuinely destructive the Death Star really was. With that said, I thought that looked great. And then I know it's going to come up. I'll just bring it up now. The CGI faces, for the most part. I know people have bitched a little bit about Leia, but I thought Leia's was pretty spot on.
I thought Leia's was flawless.
Yeah, I did.
Tarkin's you can see on the rewatch.
Well, a little bit, yeah.
Well, we saw it again last night.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. So like you can we like noticed it more that time, but
it's like we're looking for.
But I thought his was pretty good. In the fact, I mean, for me, the first time I think they actually used this technology. I might be wrong, but I'm pretty sure it was Fast 7 with Paul Walker's the first time they've actually really tested this out, but it's actually pretty cool because now Christian, me and him were talking the other day, and he brought up the fact that we might actually start to be able to see it. And didn't you say they shot this down though? So they can actually take celebrities that have passed away or been gone a long time, and they're able to bring them back.
Yeah, through like holograms or CG.
Which is pretty cool. But I mean, this movie for me, I personally wanted Episode 8 this year rather than getting Rogue One.
Well, you were never going to get Episode 8 this year.
I know.
So
I'd rather
have a Star Wars movie than no Star Wars movie, and I think this was one of the best Star Wars movies they could have given us.
I'm curious.
Yeah, definitely like one of the, like, me personally, like my favorite Star Wars movie I've ever watched. Like the way that they reconnected and like answered so many questions that's been going on for like 30 years, like... How did a design flaw such as, like, so stupid, honestly, come about? And they answered that question, and they answered, like, so many different things for us, and, like, just, like, to reconnect us into, like, that original world. And, like, you guys are talking about, you know, just, like, showing, like, the immensity of, like, the worlds and stuff. And, like, I was talking to Jamar on Twitter, one of our followers and one of our good friends, and he was talking about how he didn't like how there's so many different planets and stuff or whatever. I guess maybe it just felt I could see, I guess, like where maybe somebody could feel like that because it doesn't give you a sense of grounding to one area, I suppose. But I think their intention, and they pulled it off with perfection, to really give us an idea of
just how vast the universe is.
Yeah, exactly. How immense and endless this galaxy really is. Because, you know, the war never fought on one planet. It's like in all the previous movies, they're fought on like one, maybe two planets, but it's not really like that in this universe. And people who are into like reading the extended universe and like really, really into Star Wars, you know, I feel like that maybe that's why this is more of a movie for us. And I'm kind of newer to that club, but I am kind of like putting myself into that because like I do read some of the extended stuff and yeah. I have gotten more into it as of recently. And it's like I had like a really great appreciation for how they really pulled off just representing it's not a war being fought on one front, but just multiple worlds throughout the galaxy. Really.
Right. I mean, and they went with the most perfect theme you can. The easiest thing in the world to sell is hope.
Yeah, exactly. And,
I mean, that's what this movie is. It is, you know, that's the entire purpose of the Rebels is, you know, and even when they wanted to give up, you know, it's like, you know, it's the hope that keeps them going. It's the hope that makes them do things they wouldn't normally do, such as go to Scarif and try to get the planets of the Death Star.
But like yes. To touch on what Scott said, that I also think that it was very important to show off all those other planets because if they're going to expand the universe and do other spin-off movies, they're going to have to because you can't just have all the fucking stories take place on one or two planets. It just won't fucking work. So that's why it's very important that they expand and have different. I mean, some of the planets suck dick. Let's not beat around the bush. But we don't know what else is out there. Like,
well, I think. Well, what was your favorite planet in this film? Like that you saw.
Probably the beach one.
The one at the end of Scarif.
Yeah, because it had there was just a lot of things going for it where it wasn't just so bleak or dull or boring. It just visually it grabbed your attention and like it just had you. Whereas, I mean, how many fucking times in a Star Wars movie can we see a goddamn desert?
Favorite planet, Jeddah, because it's like the only remnant left of like the Jedi. Like you saw the Jedi statue like in the dirt.
Well,
the temple with the Kyber crystals, which is the crystal that powers Jedi's lightsaber.
I see what you're saying, but my favorite part, if we're going that route, I have to go Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith, because we got more detail as into what happened at that temple.
That's Coruscant.
Oh my!
This is Jeddah. It's a different planet. So like when you read like expanded universe kind of stuff, like you learn about the homeworld of the Sith and the homeworld of the Jedi and all this kind of stuff, and like that's like kind of what it is. Jeddah is where the Jedi originated.
Have they shown where the Sith like the Sith homeworld yet?
No, they haven't shown it in any film. They go through it in Darth Bane.
No,
he goes and finds the temples and all that.
Well, how cool would it be though if they actually
what we've been saying.
Yeah, that's what we've been talking about. Yeah. But like right now, they're focusing on where they've had the most success, and they had the most success with the original trilogy. So they're kind of doing spinoffs more based on that.
But see,
going back to the prequels and Old Republic and all that.
But see, this is where I say Disney has to have a set of balls and not just rest on their laurels. If they continue just to try to milk it off the fucking original trilogy, is after X amount of time, people are going to get sick of it. They're going to want some new shit.
No, I understand. Like, I wasn't enthusiastic about a young Han Solo film.
Yeah, I'm still not. Really,
but
honestly,
I mean, we'll see how it goes. I'm just not very enthusiastic
about
it.
Why not give us a Darth Plagueis movie or a fucking, or you know, like one of the badass fucking
Darth Bane.
Yeah, or Darth Bane, something like that. So we can see.
Or Darth Revan.
Because to be honest, I haven't read the books. I know in the movie they've touched on the mythology of the fucking of the Sith, but we've never gotten it.
So that's like the best part, because like Darth Bane, the story for Darth Bane originated from Yoda explaining the rule of two, right?
Yeah.
As a master and apprentice. That's where the story of Darth Bane comes from. It's because he ends up going to it where it's like more like the Jedi. It's like you have all these Sith being trained by all these masters, and it's like a weird structural system. And he's like, I need to make it go back to the way it should be. He's read about it in all the scrolls and all that stuff. He essentially wipes out the entire Sith Empire.
By himself?
Yes.
Yeah, dude, he's powerful as fuck.
So
he's like probably top 3, maybe.
Yeah.
Sith of all
time.
Crazy. He's
ridiculous.
Mad fucking powerful, dude.
I know, but see, who wouldn't want that in film? I mean, we can only do so much fucking.
We need to go back to the Old Republic, honestly, like way back.
You know
what I mean? Like,
start with Revan and make your way forward, you know?
You're like Malak.
Yeah.
See, I would be all on board for that because it'd be something new and different. And let's be honest here. I think we need a little dark side because we've gotten a shit ton of the light side.
Like, so, yeah. I think they're going to leave stuff like that to these animated shows, like with the Clone Wars and that stuff. Like, that's what they... Like, you'll never get a Clone Wars movie again. Like, anything that happened there because of what they've done with the TV shows.
But, see, here's the problem. This is why studio... Okay. This is like, okay, so if Disney should have learned anything this year about... I'm not saying they should push Star Wars in an R-rated direction, but if anything we learned from Deadpool was this. If a studio has enough balls to actually back something and support it and actually go with it and have faith in it...
The studio had no faith in that movie. Well, by the way. Man, let me tell you this. R rating doesn't mean good. I push back against that idea because I think, you know, people are like, oh, it's edgy and it's different and this and that. But it's like, nah, being edgy and different is like the most mainstream thing you can do.
Well, here's my point. The whole point to that was that Disney should get the balls to make a fucking dark Star Wars film.
I get what you're saying, but this was one of the darkest Star Wars films you'll ever see.
Not dark enough. I mean, yeah,
killed the entire main cast. How is that not dark enough? Like, what do you want them to do?
No.
Show blood and gore and have people exploding in front of you?
No, like, I want Sith. I want where they go, like, I don't know, like...
All right, well, that's a different thing.
Like Episode 3, when Anakin walked in the temple and just slaughtered all those kids. Something like that. I'm not saying that's a good thing, but I mean, they had the balls to pull it off.
You shouldn't say you want a darker film. You should say you want more of an Old Republic film, like where you have Jedi and Sith.
I don't know about you.
Because the Jedi and Sith aren't really there at this point. You know, that's the whole point. That's where you get Sherrod Imwit, who would be a Jedi if the Jedi still were around. Mm-hmm. Like, he was obviously in tune with the Force, and he was... let's just talk about some of the characters, then, because, you know, we kind of got off on a tangent here. So...
It's all
right.
Yeah. Well, what characters did you like, Daniel?
The robot.
Besides K2SO.
The Asian dude. Not the one with the big-ass gun. I found him to be a whiny bitch. Just like the French bastard. But I liked the dude that knew Kung Fu.
Chirrut.
Yeah, he was pretty badass.
I have a theory about him.
I did not
I'm going to say my theory now, Daniel.
Well, I was going to say I didn't like...
Shut up.
Hurry up. Hurry up and say it.
Thank you. I was going to say I didn't like Jin. What's her last name?
Urso.
Yeah. I didn't like her at all. She has the acting chops to Rooney Mara, which is boring. She couldn't act her way out of a fucking cardboard box, so she did nothing for me.
Okay.
Okay, so back to Chirrut. So how he always talks about being one with the Force and in tune with the Force and everything. And so, like, thinking back to when I was, like, reading Darth Bane books and stuff and how they explained it to him is that, like, there's, like, many people that are born that are in tune with the Force, but not everyone is always discovered. So not everybody's either trained in the way of the Jedi or the Sith.
But they have
they do have the power of the Force. And I think he's one of those people because, like, if you're, like, looking at his staff, like the end of his staff looks like the hilt of a lightsaber.
That's what I thought too.
And then like he hecka wanted Jin's kyber crystal, which she said directly to him, like, yo, do you know what the crystal is for? And she's like, oh, my father said it's to power the Jedi's lightsabers.
Yeah, and he said the strongest planets have a heart of kyber or something.
But why did she have the crystal? I mean, why did he give her the crystal in the first place? If she's not in tune with the Force or a Jedi, why would she have it in the first place?
Well, my assumption on that is because obviously they were building the Death Star and they were using kyber crystal to power it. He got a piece of it and gave it to his wife, and then she gave it to Jin.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That could make sense. I see.
And I think, like, people tried to, like, reach and stuff and like try to interpret it as like, oh, she's in tune with the Force and now she has a kyber crystal and she's gonna get a lightsaber and she's gonna be like a Jedi or whatever, and I was like,
no,
because like a lot of people are just like, so like there's like really honestly two type of people for this movie. It's like either people really loved it or people are like kind of disappointed by it. And it's like people are like who are disappointed by it, they're kind of talking about whether or not they felt that they were led on by them hanging out the Force and stuff throughout the movie.
Yeah, I mean, like, I get what you're saying, because obviously there weren't, like, any... Like, there aren't any Jedi left except for, like, Obi-Wan and Yoda right now, you know?
But they're in hiding.
Yeah, so, I mean, I can get... I can understand people thinking that this film was boring at parts or wasn't that interesting, but I think if you love Star Wars and you love the world and you feel how authentic this is to that, then it's hard not to be entertained by even the slow parts. Because like Daniel was saying, the first act is slow. I get that. But I enjoyed it thoroughly.
I don't know. I didn't feel like it was slow, to be honest.
But it really kicks in second and third act. It's just, it's a lot like Return of the Jedi in that structure. Like the Return of the Jedi, the first act is just slow.
At least in Return, yeah. We got a memorable villain, even though he died fairly certain. We got Jabba the Hutt with fucking Princess Leia with her chi-chis out. But you know what? We didn't get anything. Like, it was really fucking dull and boring, but they kind of touched.
I mean, I can get what you're saying to a certain extent. Even about the characters, like, I think Saul Guerrero could have had more, you know, more fleshed out there. Forrest Whitaker's character.
Oh, I would have loved that. Forrest Whitaker is such a tremendous actor, but his character got shit screen time and shit character development.
I disagree.
With what? Him being a tremendous actor or. Because he's a tremendous actor.
You're wrong.
I agree. I agree with that part. But
okay.
I think he made the most of his screen time.
Yeah.
His character was never meant to have an extended part for it.
But kind of touch on what you said about how people were expecting the people in the movie to have the Force abilities and shit like that. Come on now. I hated the movie on my own merits, but at the same time, if you expected that they were going to have Force abilities and shit, then you're a complete fucking jackass.
Let's be honest, Daniel. You have no merits.
This movie was strictly a rebellion movie. It was only about the rebellion. And for that exact reason, I wasn't even that excited about the movie because, like, for me, like, the Force and being a Jedi or a Sith has been the biggest lure for, you know, the Star Wars universe for me because, you know, I'm really into different, like, mythologies. What?
Huh?
Sorry, pussy, couldn't hear you. Speak up. Yeah, grow some balls.
Real tough when you're over there whispering to yourself, huh?
Yeah.
Don't worry, Daniel. We can just listen through this again and hear what you said.
Yeah, you feel real tough with that life alert in your hand, huh?
You forgot to mention Viagra as well.
Yeah. I was going to say that next, I swear. All righty. So, what else on this movie? Dude. The robot.
K2SO. He was great. Alan Tudyk.
Oh, man. One of the best parts in the movie.
Hi, Brady. He joined.
Oh, hello, Brady.
Yeah, he's watching us.
Oh, boy. Hey.
Fuck off.
He doesn't know what to say. He doesn't.
I do know what to say.
Fuck off.
No, that's not cool.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure.
Because we will go in on you.
That's why I looked at him and see if it was okay. Hey, by the way, I know you like rock music. Stay the fuck away from Alice in Chains. They suck monkey balls. And cut your hair, you damn hippie.
Don't mind this resident racist over here.
How does hating hippies make me a racist?
You're a racist.
Well, I mean,
don't
it doesn't have anything to do with the hippie comment. We're just saying you're racist.
Welcome, Brady. This is our Rogue One podcast.
Yeah.
We're already a little while into it.
Yeah. If you don't want to be spoiled, you can tune out. But
yes. We'll be talking about.
Yeah. So I guess one of the other.
Wait. I didn't get to actually talk about it.
Oh, sorry. Sorry. Go on.
The robot.
The robot. Yes. K2SO. K2SO.
Yeah. So K2SO, like the best, one of the best moments in the movie is like when he locks the door so like they can like. You know, do whatever they got to do to get like the Death Star plans, and then like he sacrifices himself with like locking them in and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, "Ah, man, dude!" It was like it was an epic moment.
Oh, it was.
My
and then like
was.
All of his like funny moments, dude. Like he was such a funny character.
He's
like,
sassy.
He was like, he was like the relief to everyone else.
I came here to have a good time, and honestly, I feel so attacked right now.
Look at what you've done, Brady.
Look at what you did, Daniel.
Look at what you've done.
I just say hippie.
That's
hey,
not nice.
Hey, Brady, if you have any questions on a Rogue One, feel free to send us those through, you know, the chat, and we'll try to answer them the best we can.
But
yeah. Thanks, bud.
My favorite part with, what's his name again?
K2SO.
K2SO.
It was the scene when they get... kind of taken by the fucking stormtroopers, and the dude, he says something and he bitch slaps him and said, "That's enough out of you."
Oh yeah. He's like, "Oh wow, well, fuck it," and just like conks him on the head and shit, dude. This shit was hilarious.
That was my favorite scene with him. But I agree with what you said though. He was for me probably my favorite character because he brought it all. But then again, Alan Tudyk Is that how you say it?
Yeah, it's funny because when I bought the pop, I should say I was like, oh, he'll be a fan favorite. Like, and you don't see any of him in the trailer. It's like, he's just another robot. Obviously, he's going to be a fan favorite.
But Alan Tudyk was amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I definitely was great. I don't know. I felt like, I don't remember his name, though. Like
Cassian? Andor?
No, the guy with the machine gun.
Oh, Blaze.
Blaze, yes. I felt like he was like an underrated character. I actually quite enjoyed his character. He's like one of my favorite characters.
I knew everybody would like Donnie Yen's character.
Which one was the pilot? Was that the French guy?
The guy that died.
The freaking guy that got the grenade launched at him?
Oh, okay.
You already know like everybody's going to love Donnie Yen, but like I thought like Blaze was like a good like kind of sidekick to him. Yeah. And, like, I don't know. I really just enjoyed it. He just felt like a thorough badass to me the whole time.
Yeah, I feel like this whole cast, like, was amazing, to be honest.
Going back to the guy you just mentioned, for me, there was no emotional attachment. I mean, I get that he was kind of his bodyguard, but to me,
all he was ever meant to be.
He really served no purpose to the plot, though, other than as a bodyguard. I mean, did he help progress the narrative in itself? No, he didn't.
Well, I mean, he saved a lot of people from dying.
But I mean,
it didn't really work out because they all died. But
ultimately, it came down to Jin Uso, the French guy, and that was pretty much it because they were the two that actually went and got the plans themselves. Well, I mean,
yeah, but without the pilot, they couldn't have got to the planet.
I don't see how feel like emotionally invested in anybody in the film. Like, like Jin, like you get so much backstory on her, and
she saw both her mom and her dad get killed.
Yeah. But at the same time, but I look at Luke Skywalker, his dad is fucking Darth Vader.
So?
Yeah, but he didn't know that in A New Hope. Why do you care about that in there? And they didn't even show his aunt uncle's burning bodies in the original story, so you're just led to assume that his parents died, or his aunt and uncle died, and he didn't see them die. And then all of a sudden, you're just supposed to believe, oh, yeah, dude, I'm just going to go with this old fucking rapist to fucking find
Who's
Han Solo.
Old rapist?
Obi-Wan.
Obi-Wan.
He's fucking sitting there stalking him all the time. He's like,
hey, Luke, got popsicles down in my cellar.
Good point. I never thought about it in that perspective at all.
So, I don't see how, like, because, like, a lot of people are actually making this argument, though, that there's no emotional connection to some of these characters. But yet, you get far more backstory from Jin than you do get from Rey in Force Awakens. And yet, everybody loves her. Everybody's in love with her. Everybody's like, oh, she's the greatest character ever. But you get, like, no. What the hell?
She's a Jedi, and she's got Force powers. Makes her a lot more interesting than Jin Uso, who just...
No, Jin's story is more interesting. You care more about Jin than you do about Rey.
Absolutely not. I cared about Rey because, honestly...
You care about Rey because she interacts with Han Solo, and that's the only reason.
No, because...
That is... If Jin was hanging out with Luke Skywalker, young Luke Skywalker in this movie... You'd be like, oh, dude, she's fucking amazing. Like, she's cool with Luke, He let her swing on his lightsaber.
Look, Rey.
Swing on the pole.
Look, Rey's force sensitive. She's going to be a central figure in the overall trilogy. I mean, she's, as far as characters go, she's a lot more important than Jin Uso. Right.
But you get, like, no backstory. How can you be emotionally invested in somebody that you don't know anything about? You don't know anything about her, and yet you're emotionally invested in her? That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, and you're over here thinking Luke Skywalker's her fucking dad.
I still believe that. And then again, certain people in this room think Jar Jar Binks is going to be Snook.
It's true, man.
Yeah, you agreed with him last night.
Yeah,
you
puss.
I still agree with him.
Reliant motherfucker.
I'm just saying, man. Can you explain the backflips?
I'm still with him on this. I still think it's Jar Jar.
Yeah, you guys can think what you want. That's fine. I mean, that's cool.
But, yeah.
Jar Jar Binks for Sith Lord Supreme.
That would be funny as shit, though.
So, Brady, you still haven't typed us any questions. Do you have any?
I probably scared him off.
Yeah, you're
I don't
an
know
asshole,
if you're,
dude.
You gotta at least let us know if you're still in here. We don't know. I don't know if it tells us whether or not you exit the...
Well, it doesn't show any viewers right now, so I'm assuming, like, he stopped watching.
Oh, my God, dude.
Fuck off,
Daniel.
Fucking
retard. I hate you.
All right, so, like, the other criticism that people like Daniel have is this movie is completely pointless. We didn't need it. Whatever. And even if that's true, like, sure, we didn't need to see this. I can say, yeah, we didn't need this movie, but that's not a reason to not like the movie. Just because the movie's unnecessary doesn't mean that it wasn't enjoyable.
I actually have the opposite opinion. I think we did need this movie because it connected so many things and so many plot holes within A New Hope.
Oh, yeah.
That it explains so much. And you brought up one of the best points that I heard of how the movie came about. And You know, it's like we were talking last night and you were talking about how like in the scroll text, the one that we didn't actually get in this movie, in the beginning of every Star Wars movies, that they got the scroll text coming down, you know, given the backdrop of the whatever, you know, whatever is going to happen in this movie. And from the one line saying
a band of rebels, or, you know, the Empire created a machine, the Death Star. Yeah, a band of rebels were able to steal the plans too, and then that's kind of
That one sentence. This entire movie is based off of this one sentence.
I was gonna say I see both sides of the argument. Obviously, I lean on the unnecessary side, but the point: if you don't think it's if you think it's unnecessary, then why are you gonna go support it?
You're like the same kind of Star Wars fan that sits there and bitches about how the Empire is this great, vast galactic force, and they created the best, most destructive weapon ever. But they didn't. They didn't have engineers that could be like, "Oh, guys, by the way, you know, there's this one problem." Like, you're the same person that would bitch about that, and now they're explaining to you how that came about, why there's this flaw in the Death Star. You know, why would Rebels even steal the plans of the Death Star? Right? Like, let's just talk about A New Hope. Why would the Rebels ever steal the plans of the Death Star? Oh, to try to see if there's a weakness, I guess. But you know,
But why did we need the actual story though?
Had two viewers, and then all of a sudden they left.
But we
probably looked at Daniel and got scared.
But
they probably recognized him.
Oh, geez.
But I was gonna say
from down in the cell.
What were you saying, huh?
Who knows?
You're talking about the Death Star and the flaw in the Death Star.
I was gonna just say so to answer your question, in the grand scheme of things, I mean, yeah, a little bit. I get why they did it, but overall, no one's going to remember them for what they did. They're going to remember what Luke did and what Han did when they both took out the Death Star.
But Han and Luke couldn't have done that without this.
But, yeah, exactly. Arguably, they're more important to the overall battle than they ever will be.
I understand that you can't argue that this movie was unnecessary, but the fact of the matter is this movie helps you understand the future movies better and helps you fill in the holes of all your previous complaints about those movies.
Yeah, we could have had either.
Now, you're just mad because now you can't bitch about the original trilogy anymore and about all the flaws in the writing in there.
I never bitched about it except for the fucking block CGI in the original VHS tapes. Other than that, I was content.
Yeah, I mean, a movie that was made in the 70s. So.
Well, I mean, all right, you want to go that route? Just a little off topic. How come Jaws had a big-ass mechanical shark, but looked at hell? It still holds up pretty fucking
Dude. I'm sorry. They can't build a fucking Death Star in space.
Well, I know that, but my point is, Spielberg, personally, I think, is a better director than fucking Lucas, but that's debatable.
You're dead to me. You're dead to me.
Really? E.T.?
You need to leave.
Jurassic Park? Fucking Jaws? Fucking,
Star Wars.
Indiana Jones.
Oh, he's done two movies. Technically, he did Star Wars and he did.
Well,
Indiana
to be
Jones.
Fair, Spielberg was also on Indiana Jones.
He was.
But
to be fair,
I mean, American Graffiti. Yeah, George Lucas, dude.
Actually, you know what? I'll be fair, Errol. A lot of people forget about that movie, but it's actually a pretty goddamn good movie. Yeah. I always overlooked that movie, to be honest. I always forget about it, but I mean, overall, that was good.
Well, let's be honest, right? Like, sure, Jaws. Like, people know Spielberg and his work, but a Jaws sequel, like,
which he had no
Star
part
Wars.
Of.
Star Wars launched the idea of sequel films. Before Star Wars, you didn't have movies with a bunch of sequels.
Let's be fair now. Jaws and Star Wars came out right around the same time. Because they both came out in the late 70s.
Yeah, and I don't hear anybody talking about how great Jaws 2 was.
Actually, a lot of people do. Cause
who?
Go online.
Okay, well, I mean, those...
I'll vouch.
I wasn't alive, but I know like when Empire first came out, a lot of people criticized it, said it wasn't as great as the first film.
I can see
now
that.
Everybody says, you know, it's... better, you know, and to me it's my favorite of the original trilogy. So
Iron Jedi, but it is a strong entry.
I'm just saying, George Lucas created the greatest franchise to ever hit theaters.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
The most intricate and expansive universe ever created, he created it.
And just
that's a fair argument.
When you look into how he came up with these ideas and what inspired him, and like the idea of the Jedi as like samurai in feudal Japan and things like that, it's just so interesting. like his inspirations and motivations. He might not have been the greatest writer ever or the greatest director. But that doesn't mean he didn't do a great job. And you know, and that's why he's kind of stepped down in the feature films.
He had
Kasdan and them doing those films and directing them.
He's
working on Raiders of the Lost Ark during Empire. So
well, I also know that he stepped down from doing Star Wars too, in part because he got tired of fucking every movie he would make at Star Wars wise. People would always find a way to tear it down and bitch.
And not to mention. CGI wise is the greatest contribution to film.
Except Jar Jar Binks. That was terrible.
Alright, let's be honest, right? When you first saw Phantom, did Jar Jar Binks strike you as a terrible character?
Yes. Right off the bat.
How old were you when that movie came out?
What year
no
was it?
Well, you were like 17 or something,
dude,
huh?
I love
When I first saw that movie, I was six years old. And that's the point of Jar Jar Binks, to connect you with younger generations.
Was it 99 it came out?
Yeah.
Then I was 17.
Yeah. I was six. I fucking loved that movie. I loved Jar Jar Binks when I saw that film. Like, I get it. Older people hate Jar Jar Binks. But he's not there for them. He's there to bring in the kids, I think. Like, that's the point of Jar Jar Binks.
Believe it or not.
Is to connect you to their world him.
I hated the kid that played Anakin more than Jar Jar, though.
See, I mean, Anakin wasn't a great actor. The guy.
Yeah, you should see him now.
Lloyd or whatever.
Yeah,
Lloyd, whatever the fuck his name was.
He was in jail just recently.
Oh, jeez.
But, yeah.
All right, let's get back onto a Rogue One, though. So, arguably, one of the greatest endings to a movie ever.
This we can agree on.
Yeah.
Dude, because I honestly feel it is so outside of the norm for them to, like, just not save the hero. Like, how easy it is for him to have, like an X-Wing just come down and swoop them up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, even if it's just them two that survive. You know, it's like the happily ever-ending story, but it's like, real life isn't like that, and, you know, like, bad shit does happen to the heroes, you know? It's like, obviously, you know, in real wars, the heroes die. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, and I think the best part is, like, they're, like, not using, like, they didn't overdo the Death Star where it's, like, Alderaan actually was the first planet they blew up. You know, like, this, they're just blowing up cities or testing it for this and that. And, like, instead of them just blowing up Scarif, like, you actually see, like, Jyn and Cassian get killed. Just like you see the pilot die, you see K2 die, you see Blaze die, you see Chirrut die, you see
all
of them
down
die
in a blaze of glory, man. By the way, it was epic, dude. It was such a good
movie. Favorite death had to be by far is when he was getting all excited about plugging the fucking thing in and then,
he got the signal on everything, got him connected, say you gotta take out that shield.
And then bam, here comes a grenade. Fucking bounce right in his face.
To me that one
up.
Hit home the most. Like K2's was really sad, but I feel for that pilot, man.
Yeah, like,
I think his name was Bodhi or Body.
And, like, how epic was it that for them to shoot, like, a Saving, like, Private Ryan, like, type scene, like, on the beach
now,
and shit, dude?
Yeah.
Like, that shit was, like, epic.
Now,
like, I was, like,
the
watching,
space
I was,
battle
like,
was one of the best ones.
I was like, oh, my
now,
God.
I will agree with the Saving Private Ryan thing, because they kind of went. Now, don't get me wrong, Saving Private Ryan was obviously the better film, but they definitely. It was. If you look at the grand scheme of things, it really was, story-wise and everything. But, that said, I did like how it did have that Saving Private Ryan feel, like, not just on the battlefield, but, like, the tragic sense of it, too. When K2 died, I was like, oh, shit, here we go. It's going to be a fucking domino effect. And it was. It just won out.
Well, I mean, let's be fair. It started with Forrest Whitaker's character. So
I didn't think any. I mean, I kind of figured he wasn't going to make it through anyways. But then once K2 died, for me, that's when it kicked in, or I realized that it was going to be the domino effect, and they were all going to start getting picked off.
Of course, we had to have our classic cameo of R2 and C-3PO.
I was happy about that.
They've been in every Star Wars film ever made.
And I'm hoping he gets more screen time in Episode 8, but it was nice to see those two actually pop up in there real quick. And
we got the return of Mon Mothma, the return of General Dordano, Bail Organa, as well.
That was Jimmy Smith, yes. Right? Yeah, that was cool seeing him. And then, to be fair, it took me a minute to realize who he was. And then you finally explained that he's the one that kind of split.
He adopted Leia.
Yeah, and then Obi-Wan took Luke, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. And the Jedi he was talking about was Obi-Wan, Yoda.
No, it was Yoda.
No, it was Obi-Wan. It was Obi-Wan. He's when he's talking to Mon Mothma, And she's like, well, that Jedi you, whatever. He's like, yeah, he served me well in the Clone Wars. And he's like, well, can you reach out to him? He's like, yeah, I got someone who can. Like, she said something. He's like, I trust her with my life. Talking about Leia, who sent the message to Obi-Wan. Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're my only hope. Yeah, you know that. You know that line? Have you heard that before? So that's what that was, you know? And I don't know, man. I just think that this film was successful in doing everything it wanted to do.
I
thoroughly enjoyed it.
I'm not saying it was like, as far as, I mean, if it had been technically, I guess you could say it's a standalone film, it was all right. But if you want to put it in a pegging order as far as which war it falls as far as Star Wars films go, for me, it wasn't the best.
Where would it fall for you? Because I'll go through my list of where it falls for me.
At the very bottom.
At the very bottom.
Yes.
The very bottom. Below Phantom Menace.
Yes.
Wow. Okay, so, I mean, my pecking order changes because, you know, I like all the movies.
It better,
you know?
Jedi better be over Rogue One, though.
So, I'll tell you where it is, right? My very bottom is Phantom Menace and Attack of the Clones together.
Really? Both in the same position?
Yeah, I'm going to have a couple in the same position here.
I'm sure you
right
will.
Above those is Revenge of the Sith.
I didn't think it was bad. Like, the last part of that movie.
Well, I didn't think the movie. Let's be fair. The movie's not good.
it's enjoyable,
though. It's quite enjoyable.
But the last part of that movie is fucking epic with the battle between fucking Obi-Wan and fucking Anakin. And then
Yoda and Palpatine.
Yeah, that shit was. I mean, the score and everything had you going, but keep going.
All right. Yes. So my very bottom, Phantom Menace, Attack of the Clones.
Okay.
Revenge of the Sith above that.
Okay.
Then I got three movies all side by side.
Oh, shit.
Yours, Jedi. With Force Awakens and Rogue One all together. Because I don't know. I mean, Force Awakens and Rogue One are too new. They haven't really set in for me to really. You know, like I said, my list changes all the time. But right now, that's where all those three are.
Why is Jedi?
And then it's A New Hope, and then it's Empire at the top.
Why is Jedi there?
Why is Jedi there?
Yes.
Because Jedi, I mean, fine. I'll move Jedi up. I'll put Jedi is there. Fuck off.
But that's not why. Why is Jedi there, though?
Because it's my least favorite of the original.
It's still better than Rogue One and
I'll give you this. Jedi had an amazing space battle at the end. Jedi and Rogue One are very similar in their structure and how they function.
Yeah, but Jedi actually had the better ending, too.
I don't agree.
I don't know. I think, like Christian said, like, I can't really formulate like a list at the moment. These movies are just far too new in order to try and like properly judge them.
Yeah.
No. Well, you know what's going to happen by after episode, 9 is it? Is that the last one?
So you actually have Rogue One below Phantom Menace and Attack of the Clones and Revenge of the Sith. Dude, you're crazy, man. Like, I'm sorry, like, if you're talking about what you liked more, I can understand that. But if you're talking about the quality of the films...
It was completely unnecessary for me. I didn't think the movie...
People say the prequels are unnecessary. You're probably one of them.
No, because we actually got to see the fall of Darth Vader, of Anakin. It served a very good purpose. We got his backstory, which was only...
Yeah, but would you be one of those people that argue you'd rather have nothing than what they gave you?
With Rogue One, yes.
No, with the prequels.
You're tripping, dude.
Huh?
Rogue One.
With the prequels.
No, I was okay with the... Outside of Jar Jar Binks...
Oh, he was like the best part.
Outside of Jar Jar, which they took him out.
Him and Obi-Wan Kenobi were the best parts of those movies.
Yeah, Obi-Wan is one of my favorite all-time characters
but,
in Star Wars.
No, I definitely, Rogue One, there's nothing that's going to be worse than Rogue One.
You're kidding, dude.
I'm
He's
not,
just trolling us. That's
no,
what it is.
I honestly,
hey, Daniel is like the world's
you
largest
You didn't like
troll.
The Force Awakens either, did you?
I liked it until a certain fucking incident happened at the end of the movie.
You mean Finn living?
Well, that okay. Two things.
Oh my gosh.
The other would. All be, right. The other would All be Han Solo.
I think we're done here. We're
yeah.
done. I think we need to get to ratings.
Yeah.
Ratings. What would you give your?
Are we doing like our regular ratings? Or are we doing grade letter grades?
No, regular ratings.
I give this film a 9.3.
I give it like a 9.8. Daniel.
Daniel, what do you give it?
3.5.
All right.
Okay.
Well. You're insignificant.
I'll give a Phantom Menace like 8.5 though.
Really? See, to me, Phantom Menace objectively, the story is like a 4.5. How much I enjoy it, yeah, it's probably like an 8.5. But like, they're small. Different things, you know? Like, you can like things that are bad.
But
this is the opposite. You're hating something, Rogue One, which is good.
No, it's unnecessary. The prequel trilogy actually served a purpose, so it gave us exactly
this movie
what
served
happened.
A purpose too.
Nah, it was more like it was completely a lot more unnecessary.
So you never wondered, oh, how did they create the Death Star? This big massive
not
object
once.
That had
not
how
once.
Did you? This so flaw. You never once came over your mind. How did this one tiny little flaw end up in the Death Star?
Nope. I just was happy with the fact that Luke flew in there and blew the fuck out of it, and then and Jedi fucking Han went in there and blew the fuck out of it. So
Han's not a Jedi.
Han didn't fly anywhere.
The Millennium Falcon?
Han didn't fly
anywhere.
Oh,
no, it was... What's the black guy's name?
Oh, yeah, what's that black guy's name? The only one. I only need to remember one black guy's name. I can't even remember it.
You can do it.
Come on,
sadly,
you can do it.
Sadly, I know Finn.
Billy D. Williams.
I know that part.
Starts with an L.
Lando.
Yeah? You know his last name?
Cassian or some shit.
Calrissian.
Like Calrissian, yeah. It sounds like Calzone,
Cassian is a character in Rogue One.
But,
Yeah, Cassian Andor.
But I mean, even a supporting character is more significant as in Lando than fucking any of the characters in fucking Rogue One were, because at least he did something that was actually significant. What they did? Okay.
Yeah, he owned the Millennium Falcon before Han.
But
that's what he did.
Well, yeah. Yep.
But I'm just saying.
Wait, Dan, you're telling me you like a black guy better than an entire cast?
Damn.
Yes.
Oh, nice.
Believe it or not, shocking,
Resident
right?
Racist shocks us all.
I still hate Finn with a passion. I hope all fucking right. Kylo Ren shows that fucking lightsaber where the sun don't shine in one of these episodes.
Sorry, retards. Mm-hmm. Aren't going to do nothing.
Anyway. All
right. You're done. Stop talking.
Good.
All right. You can leave now. All right, guys. That was our Star Wars Rogue One review. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Thanks for sticking with us all this time. Hope you guys enjoyed Daniel's weirdness and whatnot.
I'm sorry, Brady.
Yes, we're sorry, Brady. You guys can go like our Facebook. Like shut the fuck up. I will fuck you up. Shut up. All right, guys. Go follow us on Facebook. Check out the Facebook Live video that we just made.
You guys have a Facebook page?
Yes, you... God, I hate you, Daniel. Why don't you just shut up?
You liked our
All right. Go follow us on Twitter. Make sure you guys are following us on Instagram and Snapchat. Go visit our website, www.nerdyboysreviews.com. We got forum section in there. If you guys ever want to talk to us, yeah, you can do that. We also have a blog section where we write pretty interesting articles. Christian has a buy list section where, you know, he goes over what he buys in comics every week and he gives his own reviews on them as well.
Yes.
So go check those out. Big shout out to Nerd Variety Show podcast. Yeah. So if you guys like listening to nerdy things, go check them out on podbean.com and iTunes. Talking about where you can find our podcast, you can find us on iTunes, Google Play Store, Libsyn, Stitcher.
Podbean.
And podbean.com. Download all the apps. Make sure that you guys actually subscribe to the feed. Rate us and tell your friends about us. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. I think that's going to do it for us.
Yep. So thanks to Daniel. Thanks to everybody else. I'm Nerdy Boy Christian.
And I'm Nerdy Boy Scott.
And as always, stay nerdy, boys.